Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags Nonprofit U or Program Evaluation. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You can find the link to open the account on the episode's page. You can also email me questions at consulting@valeriesrenner.com or send messages to Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from a chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Measuring Success, Nonprofit Program Evaluation. Most people would agree that program evaluation is important, but in practice, many emerging organizations don't do it at all. In some cases, managers are so busy running programs and trying to find resources to keep them going that they find it difficult to find the time to reflect. In other cases, there's no funding to pay an outside evaluator, and still, others find the whole process to be a mystery. In the meantime, it's a hit or miss in providing programs that are relevant to the community and also attractive to funders. We'll talk about the most common types of evaluation, why they're important, what to do when there's no funding for evaluation, and how the information may be used to strengthen programs. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals and educators are especially encouraged to call in and share your war stories and strategies. Again, you're listening to Nonprofit U, and the call-in number is 347-884-8121. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I just want to give you an overview of what to expect, and then we'll go right into the discussion. So we'll talk about the definition of a program evaluation, why they're important, we'll talk about the process itself, and then we'll talk about the relationship between program development, developing your program logic model, and evaluation process and program marketing. And then finally, we'll talk about evaluation planning. So what is a program evaluation? And program evaluation means many things to many people. And in a nutshell, it's basically looking at programs to see if they're effective, see if they're working. And, you know, if you want to get technical, it's a systematic method for collecting, analyzing, and using information to answer basic questions about projects, policies, and programs. Some people, if they have funds, they will actually hire someone to do this, but you don't necessarily have to have an outside evaluator. If you have the resources internally, and when I say resources, I'm talking about people who are willing to do the work, you can actually do it internally. You can have your board to do it. You can have people on your staff to do it. So there are two basic types of evaluations, and the first type is a process evaluation. And a process evaluation is basically looking at the processes of the program. So it's looking at the nuts and bolts and how the program is actually delivered, when the program activities occur, where they occur, who delivers them, you know, if there are any kinks in the process at all. And it basically asks and answers the question, is the program being delivered as intended? It can be used to measure operational efficiencies and recommend more streamlined processes and cost savings. So For example, removing duplication in the organization or program structure. So, or, you know, streamlining the program. You know, there's some programs we might use five steps, and then if we do a diagram and we find out that there's duplication, we can eliminate one or two steps and save time and save money. So there's another common type of evaluation, and that's outcome evaluation. And outcome evaluation is basically focusing on what the impact of those activities have been. You know, most importantly, they're looking at how it's impacted the clients as well as the community. So, you know, for example, in an exercise program, a short-term outcome would be a change in knowledge about the health effects of exercise, or it could be a change in exercise behavior. Over the long term, you would expect things like the less likelihood of people dying from heart disease or losing weight, having better blood pressure counts. And outcome evaluations are often used to measure programmatic impact upon clients and community, to make recommendations for improvement, determine feasibility of continuing programs, and more often than not, you can see it to help shape marketing messages. So why should we conduct the program evaluation? Basically, there are several reasons. You want to provide a tool for continuous quality improvement. And when I talk about continuous quality improvement, I'm talking about, you know, periodically checking on the processes to see if they're still functioning, if they're, you know, you're always looking for better ways to do things. You should also have an evaluation because it can help you to develop criteria with which to determine whether or not to continue programs, especially in times like these where funds are really, really tight. You know, you can't be all things to all people, and doing a program evaluation helps you to prioritize your resources. You can use an evaluation to demonstrate the success of the program and services, and then, you know, use that as part of your narrative, you know, with your funders and community. And it also provides a tool to communicate. And in some cases, depending on the different programs or even the group of organization you have, the evaluation, especially for universities and hospitals, they might be necessary for accreditation. And then sometimes your funder may require an evaluation before they continue to fund you. So when we look at a typical audience, you know, one of the first things we think about is really who cares what it is that we're doing? You know, who would be interested? And high on the list is funders. Funders want to evaluate program effectiveness, and they want to determine the degree to which the program has met specific goals and objectives and desired outcomes. And usually all that stuff is negotiated up front, and the evaluation basically confirms, you know, whether or not you've been able to meet your end of the bargain. And then sometimes the evaluations give us information we may not necessarily have the strongest program, and the information that we get back can help us to strengthen them. And, you know, that's part of their role. If you're on the board, you know, part of your fiduciary responsibility is to make sure, one, that the funds are handled as they should, but another part of your duty is to evaluate different programs to see if they are within your mission, see if the resources are being used effectively. Program managers care about evaluation because, again, they want to know if what they're doing is effective. Sometimes we feel in our hearts that what we're doing is effective, but the data may tell us otherwise. But you never know sometimes unless you actually do the evaluation. If you're a program manager, the evaluation can help you make more informed marketing as well as business decisions. You know, decisions as to, you know, how many more resources to bring on, such as human resources or other tools that you need to do your job. if you are an existing or potential client, it helps you to differentiate the organization's services in the marketplace, you know, because there's some communities where you have, you know, just an overflow of service. You might have too many services, and, you know, at that point, you really become focused on quality. What makes this program different? Why should I use this program? And an evaluation, you know, reading those results can really make the difference in what program you choose. Community stakeholders care about the results of programs because, one, you know, everybody wants to make sure that as public dollars and foundation dollars are being used in their community, that they're actually making a difference in the lives of the people that live there. The worst thing or the worst feeling in the world is to have programs in a community and people look around and wonder whether or not those programs actually serve any good purpose other than providing jobs for the people who work there. And then potential donors, they want to know what the evaluation says because it helps them to decide, you know, where they could put their limited dollars. Other organizations care because, one, you know, when they're partnering, they want to make sure that they're partnering with people who are solid, you know, solid performers. Two, it helps them to determine whether or not your programs are consistent or complementary to theirs. But helps them to make decisions as to whether or not to partner with you. So there are a number of reasons for you to use the evaluation, and some of these data, quite honestly, only come through the evaluation process. So one of the first things you need to do in order to get prepared for an evaluation process, you know, long before you prepare for the evaluation process, you really need to develop a solid program, and in order to develop a solid program, you need to conduct a community needs assessment. And a community needs assessment is basically a fancy way of saying, you know, is this program necessary in our community? You know, especially, you know, some communities like mine, you know, there are literally hundreds of organizations, and then sometimes, you know, you have to wonder, is it necessary to have all of these programs, or is there some way these organizations can work together? Community needs assessment helps you gauge opinion, assumptions, and key issues, and even help you to identify key assets in the community. And there are several ways that you can get the information, and you can conduct a survey to see what people are thinking about issues. You can conduct interviews of key people. And that actually helps you to supplement what's going on in a survey, you know, because you can't ask 100 questions on a survey and expect everybody that you ask to respond. So you got to keep your surveys limited, and the interviews are a way to help you get even more information, get behind the numbers that you pull from a survey. You want to look at the literature, see what the experts have been saying. And in many cases, the experts are not going to know everything, and their research is not going to tell you about what's happening in your own backyard, but it at least gives you a sense for, you know, other models that have been working. It gives you a sense for what works, what hasn't been working, and then you can build upon that and compare those experiences to your own experiences running your program. And another way you can get information is through asset mapping. And when we talk about assets, we're talking about the resources in a neighborhood. You know, it could be institutions, it could be other organizations, it could be other people, it could be businesses, it could be parks, et cetera, but, you know, all of those things that are helpful, community more healthy, or helpful in you, the program manager, getting your job done. So you can literally look at the different resources on a map. So, for example, if you're in education, one of your asset maps might literally be a map of all the different schools in the area. Another figurative way of looking at asset mapping is doing a diagram, a flowchart, you know, that shows pictorially what all the different assets or resources are in the community. Another tool that you can use is a focus group discussion, and all a focus group is a fancy way of saying I'm going to interview four or five people at one time rather than individually. And these are usually people who have similar experiences, similar backgrounds. So, for example, it may be a group of clients. It may be a group of people who provide a certain service. It may be a group of people who may have some other insights into the type of service that you offer or you're thinking to offer. But the important thing is that the people should have something in common, because you don't want to spend the time necessarily educating people on the issues. You want people to come there, you know, grounded and ready to go. So it helps if they all have something in common and some knowledge about the program, the service that you offer, or the community. And another way to gauge community needs is through public meetings. You want to educate the public on an issue or a program, or even get them to help you identify some issues. You know, sometimes we have a preconceived notion, you know, we do this work and we think we have all the answers. We think that we have tossed and turned every situation on its head. Then we go to a public meeting, and lo and behold, there are about five or six people who bring up things that you never thought about. So never underestimate the importance of having public meetings. So you want to get feedback from people, and then use that feedback to develop the recommendations. So it should. So your communication needs to be two-way. It's not one-way, you know, me, the leader of this organization or running this program, talking to the community but not listening to what they may have to say. And if you listen carefully, they can tell you some things that can really help you develop market-driven programs and help you keep your programs relevant. And again, if you're not one who has the resources to hire someone to do this stuff, you can do this yourself. You know, it would start off by taking a program, developing a program, and doing what we would call a program logic model. So the logic model looks at the situation. So they look at the issues, what's happening, you know, who's in the community doing this, that, and the other, what are some of the issues, and given what those issues are, what should our goals be? What should our objectives be? And basically, the goals is what you want to accomplish. The objectives tell you how you're going to accomplish those goals. Okay, so are we clear on that? So once you get your program logic model together, you've got your situation analysis, you've got your goals and objectives, then you look at things like, you know, what are the raw materials that I need in order to get this project done or get this program developed. Once I have my raw materials, then I look at what activities I'm going to put in place. And going back to the raw materials, some folks might call those inputs. So those are the things that you need to meet your goals and objectives. And then your activities, I would call those your value-added pieces, the value-added components. What do you do with those people? What do you do with the money? What do you do with the equipment that you need, right, in order to meet those goals and objectives? So your one activity might be, you know, I'm taking the people that are hired, meaning mentors or volunteers, I'm taking them, and I'm going to make sure that we provide a tutoring program or a mentoring program for youth. And then we're doing all of this stuff, right? And to what end? We are doing this because we want to create change in the people that come through our door. So depending on what the program is, if it's a tutoring program, you want to make sure that people are on track to either graduate, on track to pass their courses, or sometimes just to get a GED. you want to make sure you have a reason for doing these activities and it's not just for naught. So those we call the outcomes. And then you want to have some way of measuring your impact. So you want to be able to measure how strong or effective whatever your, what we would call in this case, your intervention was. So your intervention could be a tutoring program. So if your program was strong, you'd actually see some improvement in student performance. So I think that should be helpful. And it's, we're 20 minutes in, and I just want to remind people that they're listening to Nonprofit U, and we're talking about program evaluation. Feel free to call in. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Again, that number is 347-884-8121. So, again, we were just talking about the program logic model. Program logic model is going to be very, very important throughout your program. Your program logic model helps you to actually develop a proposal before you even develop the program. The program logic model, you know, helps you really, you know, think about your program, why you're doing it, how you're going to do it, and how you measure your effectiveness. One of the worst positions you can be in, and most of us find ourselves in the worst case scenario, so this is very common. We do a program, but we don't think about how we're going to evaluate it until someone asks us to evaluate it. So ideally, you want to do that evaluation right, you know, as you're planning the program. So when you think about your evaluation design, and when we talk about the evaluation design, how are we going to go about doing the evaluation? You want to think about who your audience is, what are they interested in knowing, and how are we going to use the information? Is the information going to be used to improve programs? Is it going to be used for program marketing? Are we using it for fundraising? What data, what information are we going to need in order to track outcomes? And remember, I said outcomes are those things that are actually going to, we're looking to change, right? So how are we going to track that? How often are we going to collect the data? Who's going to collect the data? How much is it going to cost? What research methods are we going to use? So remember I was talking about surveys, the interviews, the group interviews, the review of the literature. Those are all research methods. So how are we going to use information from those processes in order to do your evaluation? So one thing we want to think about, you know, it varies from organization to organization, but typically you want to design your evaluation in such a way that you're minimizing liability. So you want to maintain confidentiality of records and your clients' responses, and you want to use the appropriate tools for the outcome measurement. And then you want to incorporate evaluation planning into program planning so you're minimizing the opportunity of your having to do double work. You want to make sure that you're kind of evaluating, you're incorporating that evaluating process in the day-to-day activities, you know, things like, you know, for example, if you want to collect data on your students, data on the people who go through your program, place to collect data would be your registration. Another logical place would be a pretest. Another logical place would be a post-test. You know, if you're providing workshops, get a sense, you know, make sure you have an evaluation tool to gather data. You know, so you're gathering data all along. You're not waiting a year and say, oh my goodness, I gotta evaluate this program. Where do I find the data? You know, you don't find yourself scrambling. So if you're collecting that data at regular intervals and you're actually assessing it over time, it doesn't become this thing where you feel like you're caught with your pants down. And then also it makes it easier for you to do this with someone from the inside versus someone from the outside. And when you do your evaluation plan, you want to develop a realistic timeline, and then you want to make sure that you assign tasks to key stakeholders. So, you know, again, you want to start off, you know, saying, well, who do we need to be a part of this process? What are the things that we're trying to find out? What questions do we have? How will we know that we have the answers to those questions? What data will we have? When do we collect it? Who collects it? How will we use it? Budget. You need to, you know, assess how much this is going to cost. And obviously, if you do it internally, meaning that you don't go to the outside, it won't cost as much money as it would otherwise. The only thing it will cost is the time of the people involved, and if you have to make copies, those kinds of things. Whereas if you got a consultant, you have to pay consulting fees that come along with that. And then you want to make sure when you're developing your budget that every major activity in your evaluation plan is accounted for. And, you know, things, you know, you want to account for every activity in terms of time, you know, when it happens, who's responsible, and then you want to account for every activity in terms of cost. So when we think about the components of an evaluation plan, we really, really want to make sure that we engage stakeholders at appropriate points in the process. So we're going to be looking at, you know, who's going to be impacted by our work. You know, will it be employees? Will it be our board? Will it be, you know, other folks in the community? Will it be our clients? You know, so who's going to be impacted? And what information can they provide to add value to our process? So everyone is going to come at this work from a different perspective. You want to make sure that you pull valuable insights from all of your stakeholders. And after you develop that program logic model that I was talking about, you know, remember I said that you want to use the program logic model when you're planning your program. And then once the program is implemented, you want to use that to kind of help you stay on track. But then you use the same logic model again in this evaluation process. So you want to determine the purpose and type of evaluation. You know, is this going to be an outcome evaluation? Is it going to be a process evaluation? Why are we doing it? Are we doing it so that we can make sure that we're using our resources more effectively, or are we doing this so that we can demonstrate how much we have made a difference in the lives of our clients? Are we looking to improve a process or increase a level of impact? So when we look at the data collection, you want to identify the sources of data. You want to select the data collection method. Again, that's through surveys. It could be your registration form, et cetera. And it's always a good idea, even once you develop your evaluation plan, do a pilot test. You know, you don't want to go a whole year without really seeing whether or not evaluation process is giving you the data you want. And you don't want to go a year of doing a program without knowing whether or not it's having some impact. So if your evaluation process, you normally want to do it on an annual basis, it makes sense probably to do it within the first 2 to 3 months of your program just to make sure that you're on the right track and you can make corrections. And then you want to analyze and interpret those data. And when I say those data, I'm talking about the program data that you get. You want to ask yourself, what do the data tell us? You know, what are some of the strengths of the data, but what are the limitations? You know, because everything is not centered around numbers. So if the numbers are not telling you everything you want, again, you'll have to go and talk to people who were impacted some way by your program so you can get a complete story. And then you want to look at, you know, how are you going to use this? You know, good uses of an evaluation would be to share findings and the lessons learned with, you know, other people. It could be your peers. It could be your funders. It could be other folks in the community. That's a good way of keeping the community engaged, you know, because often we living in the community don't always know what nonprofits do. You can also use the evaluation plan to, well, if you're a member of the board, to make informed decisions about how the organization is going to use its resources. The same if you're a manager. And then after that, after you get that information, decide how you're going to use it. Are you going to use it to put the, you know, to make the program stronger, and then come up with a plan as to how you can do that. And it doesn't have to be all drawn out. You know, it's pretty straightforward. And some of the ways that you can actually communicate success, obviously through your website. You can communicate success through your annual reports, through reports to the board of directors, through press releases, status reports to funders and other regulatory agencies, video productions, social media, and articles and other publications. So, you know, it's a complete package, and, you know, we need not think about evaluation in a vacuum. Evaluation, if done properly, is really an extension of your program planning and implementation phase. It's just the third phase, and then you take that information and you recycle it and use it to programs. So we have come to the end of our show. If you would like to hear a recording, I ask that you wait about an hour for this recording to be available if you want to download it and if you want to share it. And again, I want to thank you for listening. And I also want to let you know about next week's show. Next week's show is going to be a build-up, or we're going to build onto this particular show. We're going to talk about benchmarking and developing dashboards. So in this episode, we talked about evaluation. Next time we're going to talk about performance management and measurement and how you can actually demonstrate the impact. And that's going to be focused more on your operations as opposed to programs, but you'll see that the two disciplines are very related. So until next time, I hope that you have a really good week, and I am looking to speaking with you again next week. Take care.